Acts chapter number 12 this evening. Acts chapter number 12. I enjoyed the service this morning. Heard a lot of good stuff about God, didn't we? Well, I tell you what, can't say enough about him. In fact, you can't even come close to saying how good he is. We just don't have the vocabulary, amen? Sure don't. Appreciate your prayers for Mom. Please continue to pray for her. Pray for your pastor and all those that need prayer. Amen. Pray as if you were getting them to pray for you when you're sick. That'd make a big difference in it. Amen. Well, I kind of got a feedback. I want to come down here. I can see the whites of your eyes better now. You know when you hit a raw nerve. You don't move on then. You just stay right there. I don't watch a lot of television. There's not really much on there I care about. I really don't. It's not black and white. It's probably not hardly worth watching. Andy Griffith. I like them old westerns where they throw the bullets at the end of the gun. Every one of them got about 18 rounds. Guy in a white hat never does get dirty. Like it when the good guys win. We're going to one of these days. It may not look like it now, but I read the last chapter. I did enjoy watching a show on there about policemen. I think it was called Cops. I don't call them cops, but that's what they called it. Come on one time and you could see the camera jumping up and down as they were actually running again to catch a suspect. But there was a lot of laughing going on. The policeman and the cameraman were just about to fall down laughing. You didn't know why till they got the camera on the suspect. He was running. He'd take about two steps, pull his britches up. Run about two steps, pull his. So they could have got him anytime they wanted to, amen. They were just wearing him down a little bit. I'm gonna bring this together, but I want to look in Mark chapter number 12, and keep your Bibles handy. We'll look a little bit, not as much as Brother Dunbar did this morning. About wore me out. But it's good for me, amen. I look for those scriptures. You can get too much of man, but you can't get too much of God. Look down the last two verses in this chapter. Acts chapter 12, verse 24. Got that? Say amen. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they'd fulfilled their ministry. Took with him John, surname was Mark. There are some combinations that go well together. Peanut butter and, yep, all got it. Paul and Silas. Bartholomew and just read it. I'm Barnabas. I said Bartholomew. That's why I messed you up as Barnabas. Okay, I'm old. I admit that. Paul and Silas are much more prevalent in the scriptures than Barnabas and John Mark. And I was watching this police show. When they get the suspect cornered, they would say something like this: get your hands up in the air. In other words, they wanted the suspect to surrender to the capture and the arrest. Now, if the suspect comes out of hiding like this, That makes the policemen even more suspicious than they were to begin with, because he is hiding something behind his back that they don't want him to see. I want to preach tonight a little while on a two-handed surrender. Got folk in the church that have given their heart and soul to the Lord. They're saved. Still got something behind their back. Haven't fully surrendered. The Bible said they took John Mark with them to the ministry. Now, this is early in Paul's ministry. He hasn't even had his name changed yet. That doesn't happen until chapter 13. So he's known as Saul. But I want you to look back with me in there in chapter 12 to verse number 12. A little bit of background says that Herod has killed James, the brother of John, and because he saw this political move was well accepted of the people, he takes Peter and puts him with four quartinians of soldiers, 16 soldiers. Boy, he's a bad dude, wasn't he? Peter was. Bad, bad man. 16 guards watching this guy. He's badder than Leroy Brown. I'm going way back. Some of y'all, there's folk out there don't know who Leroy is. It don't matter. Don't worry about it. Don't Google him right now. And he intends after Easter to kill Peter too. While he's in prison, an angel comes along and the Bible said he smote him on the side and kicked him. Peter, get up. That's the middle of all these soldiers. It don't matter how many's against us if God's for us. And Peter gets up and he tells him, put your cloak around him, put your shoes on, and they do, and he goes out and the gate opens of its own accord. This is before Star Trek. Psh, a thing opened. They go out to the main gate of the city, and when Peter gets through that, he kind of thinks he's seeing a vision, and he comes to himself and realizes that he was in jail and now he's not in jail. He was in prison, now he's not. He was captive and now he's set free. So he goes to a lady's house named Mary in verse number 12. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken named Rhoda, who was blonde. That's not in the original. I put that in. She don't open the gate. So, kind of have here, I put this thought down, a mama's boy. I don't know how old he is, but he's still living in mama's house. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that because I'm living with my mama for the last few days. Jeannie's been there longer than that. She has really been a help to mom, and I'm grateful for my wife. A lot of mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws don't get along well, but my mom always told me, we wish she was a daughter and you were the son-in-law. And know right where I stand with that. He's going to get in a fight in just a minute. John Mark is. But he's not totally surrendered to what's happening. There's some things in his background. There's some things in his life that he's wanting to go with God on one hand and he's wanting to stay at home with the other hand. God wants us to commit fully to what he's wanting us to do. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be afraid of God. He never led one of his youngins over a cliff yet. But we do turn back. I marked this verse in my Bible and you don't have to turn, but it's in Psalm 78. The Bible said in verse 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in his law. They forgot his works and his wonders that he had done among them. They had seen the goodness, and Ephraim had.
They'd seen the blessings of God. They'd seen the miracles of God. They were armed. They were in the battle, but they turned their backs and fled when the army, when the heat got on, when the going got tough, Ephraim fled. So we got a mama's boy here, and then in the verses that I've looked at in to begin with, go back to verse 24 and 25, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Well, now he's not just mama's boy. He's the mentored boy. He's with the first team. He's not just on the team. He's on the field. He's out where the fray's happening, where the fight's happening, but he's not ready. He just has one hand up. The battle's coming. It's already here. We're not fighting for land and property and riches and gold. We're not fighting for that. We're fighting for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. That's the battle we're in today. It is not to gain territory or to gain riches. It is to gain the souls of men and women. There's a lot of folk. They see the missionaries stand up here and hear the preacher come through, and maybe the evangelist or the pastor get up, the associate get up, and they say, "Oh, you know, I'd like to be in the fight, and I'd like to be out there in the fray. I'd like to be out there where the rubber meets the road," but they're really not ready. Really not ready. I kind of got the idea that John Mark's got stars in his eyes and he's got excitement in his heart, but he don't know what's coming around the bend. Let me tell you something. If you know what's coming around the bend, you'll never do anything for God. You got to step out carte blanche and say, "I'm yours, and whatever comes, I trust you in it all." We see the mama's boy and we see the mentored boy. And then look over to chapter 13 and verse 13. We see the homesick boy. Chapter 13 and verse 13. Paul's had his name changed now. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. That's homesick. Got dissatisfied with the way he thought things were going to be. But I had it in my mind there's going to be a lot of glory in this. I had it in my mind that everybody's going to flock to the Word of God and flock to the church. All I got to do is just put my name on the side, and man, everybody in this part of Fort Worth's going to come and join. I'm so glad that he said, "I'll reward you according to your labor, not success." Doesn't reward us according to success. If we reward according to success, Noah would have never got on the boat, because all he won was his family. God was pleased with Noah. The homesick boy. Jeannie and I have been serving as evangelists and missionaries since 1999, and began the country of Romania and went from there to Honduras, from there to Philippines and India and Vietnam. God's given us good ministry. We haven't been able to go anywhere in the last couple of years. Hardly gone anywhere in the States. It's a shame, too, because they're practically giving diesel fuel away. I mean, I wanted to get out there. We take groups with us from time to time on a mission trip. I think the most we've taken was 14 or 15, 13 or 14, something like that, from Alabama. Two or three of them went in steel-toed boots. They had to take their shoes off every checkpoint. Two or three of them got the back of their soaked sunburn when we was in Romania. That's going. I don't know how many groups we've taken, 20, 30, something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Toward the end of the trip, we'd sit down to have a meal, and
we'd kind of go around and say, what did you think of the trip? What do you think about missions? What's impressed you? What's gone through your heart? Boy, we've had some great answers. Some great commitments to go back to a home church and get plugged in and serve God. I remember one fellow said, all I can see is two more nights I'll be home. See, he put one hand up to go on the trip, but he never fully got engaged. We took one woman, and it was Christmas time. We were going from store to store, buying nearly every toy they had in the store, doing Christmas for three orphans' homes and three gypsy churches, and all that we did, our staff and everything, just buy everything they had. I had to make sure I was the last one out because I had to go and apologize to every clerk and every cashier in that store for how rude one of our women. A lot of folk I'd take back, and I never would take her. If she ever asks, I'll tell her to her face, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm just not going to take it. Because she never put the other hand up. She never got involved. She never surrendered. Lord, I put this one up because I want you to save me. I don't want to go to hell, and I want to go to heaven. I want to have a mansion, and Lord, I want to be with you, but I'm not going to put both of them up to go on visitation or to start tithing or to pray like I ought to or read my Bible. I'm going to. Two-handed surrender. John Mark goes back when the going gets tough. Man, they just met a person with a spirit of divination. They didn't know it was going to be that way. Well, if missionaries would stand up here, y'all having a mission conference in February, if they could stand up here, the veterans at least, the ones that have been there, tell you some of the horror stories that they've gone through. Did I commit to this? Did I sign up to do this? Well, it's a two-handed surrender. That's what God's looking for. Total commitment. So we see the mama's boy and the minute boy and the homesick boy, but then we see the second chance man. And I changed it from boy to man because I believe that John Mark's grown up a lot. Look over to chapter 15 and verse number 36. Chapter 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God, of the Lord, and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. I call this a second chance man. Because now I believe that John Mark's got both of his hands up. Now, Barnabas and Paul have this discussion, and the Bible said it got so sharp that they parted sunder one from another. Well, say what you want, but God used this division to double the efforts that Paul and Silas and Barnabas might have had by themselves. Wasn't God's will that they had a division. I don't believe that. He's not the author of confusion, but he will on occasion use something like this to take the gospel further than we thought it could go. I'm glad he got a second chance to serve God. He went in the fight, and the Bible said he went not with them to the work, and he went home, and with all my heart, I believe the Holy Ghost of God tabernacled down around John Mark and convicted him and convinced him of his need to be more in the battle. I believe with all my heart that he regretted turning back from the work that God has sent him to do. So glad God is a God of second chances, and third and fourth. Prodigal son leaves home and goes and spends all of his substance in riotous living, and when he spent all, a great famine arose in the land. He says, I'm going to go home. And the father ran. Only time in the Bible we see a picture, not God, but a picture of God running. He gave him a second chance. I'm glad for that. I've needed that before in my life. I've needed a second chance. And because I have sinned against God and not gone with all my heart to do what he told me to do. Maybe I've gone, but it hadn't been my heart to do it. We got the second chance man. God's given him the opportunity to go with Barnabas. Barnabas' name means the son of consolation. Barnabas is one that when Saul got saved, boy, all the disciples were scared of him. Why? He made havoc in the church. When he got born again and got on the right side, there was great peace throughout all of Christendom when Paul changed teams. Barnabas is the one that brought him in and said, listen, he did get saved and he is preaching right and he is doing right. Now, Barnabas is taking John Mark. Whatever success they have in their ministries, Paul is a part of that. I don't know about you, but it's an awesome thing to team up with somebody that's going with God. I mean that. These missionaries come in February. This church has got an opportunity, I know you will, to team up with somebody that's going to the front line. Now, you may not go yourself, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, and you're sending some finances to say, we're backing you, and we're with you, and we want you to go. We just come through New Year's, and boy, can you believe January's over? 1/12 of this year is gone. My, my. The older I get, the faster it goes. When I was a kid, Christmas never would come. Now it comes twice a year. Got a chance to be a two-handed Christian. You see, the mama's boy, I haven't got the message yet. Y'all, this introduction, y'all just hang on. The mama's boy and the mentor's boy and the homesick boy and the second chance man. But look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to see the profitable man. You're in Acts, turn right. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is in Nero's cell and writing letters and conquering Rome with a pen. Can you believe it? Probably see the shadow of the guillotine when the sun's shining right. He writes to Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed in Thessalonica, Cretan to Galatia, Titus and to Dalmatia. Notice this. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Somehow or another, John Mark had proved himself on those mission trips with Barnabas that Paul said, you know, I'm calling him back up to the big league now. I want him on my team. He's going to be profitable to me for the ministry. Why? John Mark got both of his hands up. Wasn't hiding anything behind him. He was full bore to go for God. The profitable man. Willing to go. Paul's in prison. And he's willing to go. John Mark, your leader's in prison. I'll still go. John Mark, he's probably going to die. Well, I'll go with him. History tells us that John Mark was crucified upside down on a cross shaped like an X, that he preached for 2 solid days before he finally gave in to death. Talk about two-handed surrender. Aren't you glad God gave a second chance? There's going to be a time when God knocks at my door again. Be a time when he knocks at your door. I'm calling you. He does that every time we read the word. He calls us to prayer. He calls us to service. He calls us to give. He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to be a soul winner. He calls us to service. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be the treasurer. You don't have to be a deacon to be in the service. If you're saved, you didn't have to join. You're in. Automatic. Now here's the message. There has to be a yearning for the work of the Lord. You can't just let it go by you. When the videos, I remember being on this side. Preacher, you can tell a mission church, they got that screen out there where you can find it. We've been to churches, show our video, you know, and they don't know where it's in the Sunday school room. They don't know it's back here on this side. When's the last time we saw it? Well, kind of a couple of years ago. I can't remember. And it's kind of rusted up, probably torn, and you know, but when those videos are shown, there needs to be a yearning in your heart. Maybe not to go to that field, but to help them accomplish what God has set in their heart to do. Must be a yearning for the work of the Lord. Praying and reading your Bible and will help you with that. Going, our bus is parked up in, or down, I should say, in Alvarado, Texas. And Mom's here. So I'm leaving tonight, leaving Jeannie here, get the car and driving back down to Alvarado. I got work to do down there. I hate to leave them behind. I was loading the car, getting ready to go this afternoon, right before we came here. Young fella drove up on the other side of the street from Mom's house on a motorcycle. So I went over there, and I ride one too, so that's a natural opening. I said, what kind is it? He said, I don't know. There wasn't a name on it. He said it was a Chinese that was no longer in business. I told him what I rode, and we talked a little bit. Gave him a track. Ride a motorcycle, you better be right with God. Put all that leather on and stuff. You don't dress to ride, you dress to slide. Remember that. You're gonna get on one of them. My dad called him a murder cycle. I said, you need to read this track. You know, there should be a yearning in our heart for the work of the Lord. There should be something inside of us that pushes us and motivates us to where we'll say, you know what, I put both my hands. What does the old song say? Nothing in my hand I bring simply to the cross. Got to be a yearning for the work of the Lord. There needs to be a yielding to the will of the Lord. A yielding. Not my will, but yours be done. There's some folk that have been here tonight if the football game wasn't on at this hour. But you say, what I do? Find you an 8-year-old girl that'll help you set that thing to program to record it. I know you can't do it. I know I can't do it. But there's an 8-year-old girl somewhere that knows how to fix that thing. I'm just saying. Why? Because we've not yielded to raise both our hands. I got to keep this back. I'll give God part of me, and I'll give him part of my day, and I'll give him part of this and part of that, but I got to keep this back for me. You know, when the children of Israel went into the promised land, the Gadites and the
Reubenites and half the tribe of somebody else. Manassites. They went over and fought the battle and helped to win the land, and then they went back across the river to stay on the wrong side. Why? They said, we've got a lot of cattle, and this is a place for cattle. So, Moses, we're going to stay on this side. God said, I want you to go over. Got a lot of cattle. Can I tell you something? They could have took their cows with them. A land that flowed with milk and honey. A land that was beautiful. God wouldn't have sent them over there if he hadn't provided everything for them. I got some cows, preacher. I'll give part to God, but I can't give it all. And an Ananias and Sapphira put one hand up. It was all theirs, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. There's got to be a yearning for the work of the Lord. There's got to be a yielding to the will of the Lord. And then last of all, there needs to be a yoking with the ways of the Lord. Getting yoked up with him. When you get in a yoke with him, you can't go where you want to go. Amen? I mean, what's your name, young fella? Matthew? How old are you, Matthew? 18? No, I got socks that old. On, got them on. If Matthew and I got in a yoke, I outweigh him by 100 pounds, and I'm at least 110% meaner than he is, I don't think Matthew could pull me where I didn't want to go. I believe I'd make him go where I want to go. You get yoked up with the Lord, he's not going to go where we want to go. You and I, we got to go where he wants us to go. So when we yoke up with him, we're putting both hands up and saying, not my will, not my way, not what I want. It's all you. Paul said, bring Mark, because now I see he's totally surrendered. He's got both hands up. He's not looking back. He could be profitable to me. The heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few moments this evening. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, we need you so bad. And Lord, a lot of times we truly, really don't know what to do or where to go. But you won't leave us just wandering around if we're yoked together with you. You'll take us where we need to go. Lord, I believe there may be someone here tonight that's never raised both hands. Never put up both hands. Lord, there's times that I take one down. Hide it behind me. Forgive me. Lord, would you speak to some heart tonight? Speak to someone, Father. Maybe a young person that's been considering giving their heart and life for the ministry. A pastor, an evangelist, a missionary. Maybe a young lady that's contemplated giving her heart and life to you to be a pastor. Wife, a missionary's wife, to full-time service. Pray that you cause them to desire to put both hands up tonight. Father, whatever's done tonight, we give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name.